running for the chairmanship, or the chairpersonship, I think we have to call it, of Ngāti Kahanunu, the iwi. So we're going to talk about all of that. Kia ora, Baden. How are you?
Yeah, good. Kia ora, Shane.
Kia ora, hey.
I'm well.
Yeah, so, sorry we come to you a little bit late, but and also apologies, we've been trying to get you on for the last couple of weeks, but of course we were at the June Jackson's Tangihana. Baden, you're from Ngāti Kahanunu, and you, of course, hosted one of your own, Moana Jackson's Tangihana. Tell me from your own iwi perspective, from his iwi, what Moana meant to your iwi.
Well, he meant a lot, and you would have seen some of the footage at his tangi this past weekend. I mean, we had hundreds and hundreds of people come through, you know, high-profile politicians, you name it, they were there. So, you know, he was a trailblazer in terms of his work with the Treaty of Waitangi, his legal background, you know, setting the table for future generations of Māori and New Zealanders to really tackle some of the big issues around the Constitution, around the Te Tiriti o Waitangi. So, you know, he meant a lot to Ngāti Kahanunu and the motu, certainly from the turnout to his tangi over the weekend.
Now, Hayden, of course, one of his dying wish was to allow a woman to kai kōrero. We saw the wonderful video coverage of that. Tell me about, was that discussed before his death? Was it controversial, or did people just see it as the right time for the right person? How did that kōrero take place in terms of your own iwi?
So, Matahiwi Marae hosted the tangi, and that's where he's from. His mother's from Matahiwi Marae. So the marae, you know, had their own hui.
It's a beautiful marae.
It is a beautiful marae, but they had their own hui about his ohaki, his, you know, his dying wish to have women speaking on the pai. And, you know, there was agreement from those that were at the hui.
Yeah.
You know, this is what I was told anyway. To allow that to happen, to allow that tikanga to happen on the marae. So I'm not too sure if there was any opposition to it. I'm sure we'll find out because, you know, we need to probably have a kōrero about this as an iwi.
Yes.
As hapū and here taonga, because, you know, some were kind of surprised. You know, we haven't seen this type of thing happen on our marae for a long time. We've heard stories that, you know, some of our ancestors did speak on the Pai Pai, but in terms of this generation, it hasn't been done very often at all.
In fact, Baden, it was your tipuna, female tipuna, whose name's escaped me, my apologies, that travelled to Waitangi. She wanted to sign Te Tiriti. She was unable to, and wasn't her people. It was the representatives of Victoria that wouldn't allow her to do that. And so your people turned around and walked home. Hayden, if I can move on, you're running for the chairmanship of the your iwi. Why are you doing this, and what do you think the challenges for your iwi are?
Well, I'm doing it because I think we can be doing greater for our people, Ngāti Kahanunu. Yeah, I adamantly think that our iwi should be at the top table of Te Ao Māori, alongside the likes of Ngāi Tahu, Tainui, and others, you know, that are doing really great things for their people. We have some challenges in front of us in terms of Ngāti Kahanunu. We've settled our fishery settlement and our hapū land settlements kind of separately throughout our rohe. So yes, we've got a big rohe from Wairarapa to Mahia. Mm. So we have a lot of kind of silos working in isolation at the moment. So we need to bring all that together, because I think collectively together as Ngāti Kahanunu, we can be doing some great things for our people, for our hapū, for our marae. So
that's quite right.
That's the vision.
That's quite right. Yeah, most of your settlements have been hapū-based, haven't they?
They have been hapū-based.
Yeah.
And then our iwi have settled our fishery settlement for all of Ngāti Kahanunu. So, yeah, so we have those silos operating at the moment. We need to bring that together.
So how does the election process work?
So The chair of the Ngāti Kahungunu has to be elected from representatives from Tai Whenua. Mm-hmm. And Tai Whenua, we have our six Tai Whenua from Wairarapa, He Re Taunga, Huriri, Te Metumea, all the way up to Te Wairoa. And so you have to be elected from your marae to get onto that board, and then you're available to be elected to the chair if you wish.
How many electors are there? Not people standing for election, but how many people get to vote? And you know, is
we've got about 20,000 that are registered and that can vote.
Okay, yep.
We have about 60,000 Ngāti Kahungunu people, but 20,000 of them are over 18 and have registered.
Oh, so just so I get it right, because it's very important to get these things right. So you have to be a representative of this of the marae or the rohe, different rohe, to be able to stand for the chair's role. But anyone who's registered over the age of 18 years of age can vote, correct?
Yep, yep, and you have need to have whakapapa to Ngāti Kahungunu. Yep, now that's right.
Okay, so Hayden, the Hastings District Council, we've got an election come October this year. You standing again?
Well, we'll wait and see how this iwi chair election goes first.
When will you know about that?
26th of this month.
Okay.
26th of April, we'll know. Yeah, you know, we're heading into the crunch time for the election. So we opened nominations on the 28th of February.
Yes.
And we've been hard out campaigning.
Is it a mail-in vote? And have the ballots been issued yet?
They have been issued. Yeah. And you can actually vote online. So you get that through the post, and there's a code that you put into the on a website, and you can vote online, so that which is great. I mean, it's easier. It's way easier if you vote online than having to send stuff back in the post.
And
it's not always reliable, the old post. Mm.
Yeah, and it's run through the Electoral Commission, as I understand it, using
many
of the methodologies that are used in local body elections and, in fact, nationwide elections, Hayden.
No, it's got to be a fully transparent process. So, you know, really happy that that's been done through the election process. Yeah.
So, Baden, what are as a Hastings District Councillor, what are the big issues that you've had to confront over the last term?
So, housing is the number one issue. I came onto the council in 2016, straight after the Havelock North water crisis. So, water's been our number one issue. So we've put $82 million into renewing all of our drinking water infrastructure since 2016.
Has that been funded? Has that been funded through the rate pay, or have you had some external funding via the government?
We've had some external funding. Regional Growth Fund helped us. Somewhat, but most of it's probably been through ratepayer funding. And then after the water, housing has been a major issue for our council. We have over 1,000 people living in transitional housing, which is basically all of the hotels in Hastings and Napier have been turned into transitional housing for whānau that can't get into permanent housing. So trying to build houses, trying to fund the infrastructure without getting too caught up in our fertile soils. You know, we've got He Re Taunga Hoku Nui, we've got the best soils in the country, and you know, we don't want to be building over top of that productivity. That's the big challenge, is where we're going to build these homes, how can we build them faster, and where can we get more financial support to do it.
And do you see that as a, from a sort of a Hastings District Councillor perspective, do you see that as a collaboration with the council, with central government, and with iwi, and are iwi equipped to help fund investment in housing and that type of infrastructure?
Yeah, I think, you know, the future for our iwi is all around partnership. And, you know, our iwi investments need to be doing really well so that we're getting returns to reinvest into housing. Partnerships with councils, that's really important because councils are all over the regulatory side of building these days. And then you have central government that have a whole lot of pūtea that we want to be investing into papakāinga and housing for our communities, especially our Māori communities. We've got a lot of Māori communities that have no housing. They have whenua. So if we can kind of come to an arrangement where the government is supporting iwi to build the houses, supporting our whānau to be the trades people, plumbers, builders, electricians, on land that it, you know, belongs to our people, I think that's a win-win situation. So, yeah, partnerships are going to be very key going forward.
And of course, we've got the controversy of Three Waters. I've spent a lot of time visiting Huritanga, not just A. Hastings, but you know that Napier and that Hawke's Bay region. You know, you've got a lot of intensive dairy farming. You know, six farms really do dominate the scene down in Huritanga. You've got you know, you've got some waterways that are in a very bad shape, and of course, not that long ago, you had the Havelock North terrible situation where people actually died. What's your view on Three Waters, Baden, in terms of the politics of it, and if Three Waters isn't the answer, how do we get real investment in our three water infrastructures?
Yeah, look, I've been part of the National Three Water Steering Group for the last 2 years, so you know have been part of all that discussion right from Minister the Minister putting that take down, and then kind of putting the the policies around it and testing those. So you know, for me, the gap in terms of funding to fix and to renew all of this water infrastructure around the motu, it's just not there. I mean, our ratepayers definitely cannot afford it. The government saying that they're willing to support central government, which is something that local government have always wanted. They've always wanted a partnership with central government around infrastructure.
Yeah.
And so for me, it's about, okay, how do we get safe drinking water, wastewater, and stormwater services to our communities without putting that load entirely on our ratepayers, because they cannot afford it? And if I think about some of our smaller rural councils, I mean, it's just totally out of this world to be able to afford that type of infrastructure. So, you know, so to me, the Three Waters has some merit in terms of partnering up with some of these bigger councils, with the Wellingtons, the Christchurch, the Aucklands, and the Waikatos, to kind of soften the burden financially on some of our smaller councils, whilst delivering safer drinking water and stormwater and wastewater services to our people. Because if I think about some of our Māori communities, they're often in the most isolated rural places, eh?